A broadcast service of City College and the San Diego Community College District. This is Jazz FM 88.3 KSDS San Diego. I'm Dave Drexler with Inside Art. Support for Inside Art comes from the members of San Diego's Jazz 88.3. This week on Inside Art, we'll explore San Diego's newest museum, the Brain Observatory, where art and science collide. But first, this Thursday, one of the finest vibraphonists working in jazz today comes to the Loft at UC San Diego for one show only at 8 p.m. Chicago native Joel Ross is a perennial Downbeat Critics Poll favorite and Jazz Journalist Association Mallet Instrumentalist of the Year. His most recent album, The Parable of the Poet from Blue Note Records, explores feelings of self-awareness, confidence, doubt, regret, and forgiveness, continuing Ross's evolution as a collaborative improviser with a commitment to authentic discourse among his band and the audience. Joel Ross joins us today by phone from his home in Brooklyn. Joel, it's great to have you on Inside Art.
It's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
You know, a lot of times with the vibraphone as an instrument, it's can be a second choice for a lot of musicians. But for you, what was it a first choice instrument when you were coming up?
It wasn't, actually. I was born in Chicago, and I have a twin brother, and his name's Josh. And we both started out on the drums, actually. Yeah, that was about when we were 2 or 3 years old, and we played drums pretty consistently growing up in the church in Chicago until we were about 10 years old. And at that point, we joined our elementary school's concert bands. And it was in that band where, you know, one of us had to play the snare drum and bass drum and other drums, and the other had to learn mallet instruments. And because I'm the younger twin, he made me learn the mallet instruments.
Well, by younger by how much?
Only 2 minutes.
He lorded that over you, huh?
Indeed. And so that year we auditioned for Chicago has some all-city programs where kids from all around the city come together and audition. And if you're accepted, do rehearsals every week and have performances throughout the year. So we auditioned for the concert band, and respectively, he got in for snare drum, timpani, bass drum. And I was in for the mallet instruments, for xylophone and glockenspiel. And that same year, we also auditioned for the All-City Jazz Band. And we both auditioned on drums. And I can admit my brother was the better drummer. So they suggested that I played the vibraphone, which at the time, being 10 years old, I had never heard of and didn't really have an interest in it. But at the strong assistance of my father and the percussion instructor with the program, they insisted that I play the vibes, and I've been doing it ever since.
Well, you also play the piano too, which is not a surprise, but is that where you do most of your compositions?
Yes. I started playing piano, I guess more seriously my senior year of high school, but have always been fiddling with it. And yeah, I primarily write just about everything at the piano. If not based on some rhythmic idea at the drum set, then just about everything I do is at the piano.
Well, as you explored the vibes and became and developed yourself and your skills in this area, what was that period of discovery like as how you could really create your own voice as a vibraphonist?
I guess the true answer is that I never thought about my voice only in the guise of being a vibraphonist. And by that, I mean, when we first got started and started listening to different records and things, the main musicians that we were listening to were, you know, Milt Jackson, obviously, for the vibraphone, but also Miles Davis and a lot of his quote-unquote second grade quintet with Herbie, Wayne, Tony, and Ron, as well as Thelonious Monk and John Coltrane. And the thing that stuck out to me about those musicians and their ensembles is the uniqueness in their voices as soloists, as instrumentalists, as well as band leaders. And so from the get-go, I never was thinking just about the vibraphone itself and developing my voice on the vibes, but just developing my voice as a band leader, developing my compositional voice, and then just understanding different theories and ways to improvise. And my goal is really for all of that information to supersede whatever instrument that I'm playing, whether it be a vibraphone, piano, or drums, or a melodica, for example. It just so happens that my technique is best on the vibraphone, and that is where I can express myself best.
One of those vibraphonists that was an influence for you, I believe, was Milt Jackson. And he did something technically that I think really influenced you specifically as well.
Yeah, he was primarily a two mallet instrumentalist. And I learned over the years how popular four mallets are on the instrument, naturally, because it can be seen as a chordal instrument similar to the piano or the guitar. But, you know, for me, preferentially, I like to view it kind of like Milt did, in the guise of a two mallet. You know, the two mallet thing is basically like a single line or a single horn instrument, in the way that they were basically improvising and playing melodies. And I like to look at the instrument from that point of view, instead of putting, you know, I can utilize multiple notes on the instrument when I like having it as an option, but to really use it as a two mallet soloing instrument is how I like to interact with other musicians.
You came up in the Chicago jazz scene, and maybe you can characterize what that was like for you and your brother as well.
Mm-hmm. It was, I mean, I think my time growing up in Chicago, a lot of our education was based on these different jazz institutes. There was a Jazz Institute of Chicago and jazz educational programs through my high school. And so a lot of my learning through Chicago came actually with peers in different educational backgrounds, focusing primarily on a lot of straight ahead musics. I mean, but even riding around in the car with my parents, there's a lot of black music in general, Motown, R&B, or like old R&B, soul. There was a lot of that, as well as hearing a lot of gospel in the church every week. So that was primarily the sound I grew up with, the gospel, R&B, Motown. And then once we got into jazz, just learning from listening to a lot of records from back in the day.
All right. So your newest album, The Parable of the Poet, this is your third with Blue Note Records, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
What did you try to do with this album compared to the previous two?
Yeah, the previous two albums feature a smaller ensemble I have called Good Vibes, which the similarity with the two ensembles are that they're both built basically with my friends and people that I love to collaborate with and have been working with since I moved to New York, basically, pretty much, or basically since high school. The thing with this newest record is that it's a larger ensemble featuring nine musicians, I believe, this time. And I guess the difference in the way I went about this one is that I brought these tunes that were arranged and composed based on previous improvisations that I did before. And I used these ideas for a commission that I received from a venue in Brooklyn called Roulette Intermedium in 2019. And, you know, the thing with having there are four horns up front, four or five horns up front, and the piano-based drums in the rhythm section along with myself. And the idea was that I was thinking of the horns similar to a praise team in church, where there's four or five, six singers up front kind of leading worship, and the rhythm section or the band would support them. So there was a mix of treating the horns in the ensemble similar to a choir in that way. But I didn't really write out any notes or specific arrangements for them outside of a few of the tunes. I really left everything up to their interpretations, which is why it was really important, the individuals that I asked to be a part of the project, because it really depended on trusting and understanding that they knew how to, you know, work with everyone else in the ensemble to make space for everybody and still contribute musically in a way that comes together naturally.
Boy, that's really exciting in the recording process, isn't it? Just, you know, to make it as it happens. There's a lot of trust, obviously, but, you know, the result, when it works, the result is exhilarating, I'll bet.
Definitely.
Well, tell us about the band you're bringing to UC San Diego on this West Coast tour here.
So this band will be almost everybody who recorded on the record. We have Marquise Hill on trumpet, Gabriel Garo on flute, Maria Grand on tenor saxophone, Kalia Vandiver on trombone, Craig Weinrib on drums, Rick Rosato on bass and Sean Mason on piano. And the only substitute for this performance will be saxophonist Josh Johnson, who's based in L.A., but also a Chicago connection, who I played with actually in Marquise Hill's band years ago on the road. So again, it's all a big, one big happy family, pretty much. We're all friends and constantly work with each other in different capacities. So it's a really comfortable experience to be able to play with them. And I'm glad we're finally being able to bring this music out on the road.
Well, Joel, looking ahead a bit, can you share with us any of the upcoming recording projects you may have in the pipeline or things that are being planned?
I know we have Good Vibes has another one coming up. We went on tour last fall, and at the end of that tour, we went straight into the studio. So I've been working on getting that music together to hopefully be released this year or sometime next year.
And do you have any aspirations for creating music for larger ensembles in mind sometime down the road, perhaps?
I certainly want to write for strings sometime soon. I've been working with the opportunity to finally have Parables playing a lot more gigs. I've been slowly adding extra instruments to the ensemble as long as it's within the budget, and trying out putting different musicians together. I actually just finished a 4-night residency at a small club in Brooklyn called Seeds, where I was basically had a different group every night and trying out a lot of new music. So a lot of those ideas hopefully will be coming into fruition in more performances and recordings very soon.
Is it a big consideration for you as a vibraphone player, the combination of instruments around you just to create that sound? Is that a big consideration?
It is. I actually, I try to take a more selfless approach from the role of the vibraphone, because I personally, maybe it's what I'm used to growing up hearing, how the vibraphone, like you said, it's not always a first or even second choice. And so even for me, I don't ever feel like I need to be the player or be the main cat. And I really like to put other musicians around me to see how they interpret interacting with me and interacting with each other. And from there, I'll insert or add something if I need to, but I really just like to sit back and let other musicians do their thing. And I'm just in awe.
But any combinations in particular, like I've always enjoyed the sound of the vibraphone and the piano together. I think it's just such a wonderful, tonally interesting sound.
I definitely lock up with most piano players that I play with. I'm really, since I'm coming from such a rhythmic background as a drummer, I always try to connect with the drums, bass. My partner, who's on, Gabrielle Garo, she's on flute. We've been exploring putting the vibes and the flute together too. That's a beautiful sound. I've been doing some duo performances with another colleague of mine, Brandy Younger, on harp. So, I've just also been exploring what it's like to put the vibes with these different instruments, just to see what can come from these partnerships.
Well, we're looking forward to all of your explorations on stage this coming Thursday, February 9th at 8 p.m. in the Loft at UC San Diego. I've been speaking with vibraphonist Joel Ross. Joel, thanks again for joining us on the program, and we hope to speak to you again soon.
Thank you so much for having me. I really look forward to the performance.
Joel Ross performs Thursday, February 9th at 8 p.m. in the Loft at UC San Diego, presented by Art Power. You can purchase tickets and learn more at artpower.ucsd.edu. Joel Ross's current album, The Parable of the Poet, is available from Blue Note Records. Information is at bluenote.com and Joel Ross's website, iplayvibes.com. Coming up, we'll explore San Diego's newest museum where art and science collide, the Brain Observatory. That's next, as Inside Art continues here on San Diego's Jazz 88.3. Funding for Inside Art comes from the members of Jazz 88.3, where your support brings the joy and history of jazz and all of the arts to San Diego. To become a member, visit jazz88.org/donate.